Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. You're about to hear the Serving Today program, which is for pastors and church leaders. This episode was recorded with the late Phil Crowther back in the early 2000s, before he went to glory.
Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the servants of God. I'm Derek French and it's good to be with you again. Preaching Mark's Gospel. Phil Crowther helps us with our sermon preparation. Most of us have periods in our lives when we are made to wait for something. Sometimes it can be as minor as waiting for a bus. Or it might be waiting for the birth of your child. Those last weeks of the pregnancy can seem an age, but they're soon forgotten once the little one arrives safely. In a way, it's been a bit like this as we've been going through Mark's Gospel. We've reached Mark chapter 8 and the section from verse 22 to verse 30. Up to now, the people who met Jesus, and the disciples of Jesus in particular, have been so slow to realise who he is. Last time we saw how Jesus himself said to them, "Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened?" And it's been like waiting for a long time for them to grasp and appreciate that Jesus really was the Saviour whom God had promised to send into the world. Well, as we'll see today, all that was about to change. As I said, we're in Mark 8, verses 22 to 30, and Phil Crowther is going to help us with our sermon preparation from this passage. When I met with Phil, I began by asking him what description he was going to give to these verses, and this is what he said.
Peter sees. At last, we've got there.
Yes, well, we've been longing for this, haven't we? What about background that we need to be aware of?
Well, remember that so far the disciples are still blind. They can't see who Jesus is, and so they need a miracle. And the next thing we read is a miracle. Can you read verses 22 to 26?
Yes, certainly, Phil, and they are very precious verses, aren't they? They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on them, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village."
A blind man sees. And it's another one of these miracles with a message, like the one in Mark 7, 31 to 35, the deaf and dumb man. Straight after this miracle, Peter shows that he now sees. He sees that Jesus is the Christ, the Saviour. So let's read 27 to 30.
Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him.
So verse 29 answers the big question of the whole of the first half of Mark's Gospel. Who is Jesus? We keep asking that, don't we? We keep saying the disciples don't see who Jesus is. But now they do. Now they answer the question. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Christ. The rest of Mark answers another big question. Why did Jesus come? So when you think about Mark's Gospel, think about it in two halves. The first half is, who is Jesus? And here's the answer. Jesus is the Christ. The second half is, why did Jesus come? And the answer is, Jesus came to die.
What about things that we need to note before we actually get into our preparation, Phil? Anything in the verses themselves?
Yes, in verses 23 and 26, Jesus leads him outside the village in verse 23, and then in verse 26, he sent him home, and he says, "Don't go into the village." That's strange, isn't it? Jesus takes the man out of the village and he doesn't want him to go back to the village. This is because Jesus wants to keep the miracle quiet. It's a miracle for the disciples to think about. Remember, I keep saying, don't I, this is a message for the disciples. It's to help them to understand something about Jesus. And then in verses 23 to 25, it's a strange miracle in that it doesn't happen immediately. Why does Jesus touch the man's eyes twice? Well, it's not because Jesus' miracle didn't work very well the first time. Jesus meant to do the miracle in two parts. And this is because the miracle has a message. The man is like the disciples. Very soon they will see. But they will only half see, like this man. Peter sees that Jesus is the Christ, but he doesn't yet see that Jesus must die. And you can read that in verses 31 and 32. Peter is like the man in Mark 8, verse 24. This man who sees people and they look like trees walking about. Now, for the rest of Mark's gospel, the disciples are still half blind. Jesus teaches them, but as we read through the gospel, you'll notice that they don't see very well. They don't completely understand, not until Jesus rises from the dead. And verse 29, you've got that word Christ. Christ means the Messiah or the King who God promised in the Old Testament, the one that they were looking for. And Peter now sees that God sent Jesus as the Christ to save his people. And in verse 30, Jesus warns them not to tell anyone about him. They mustn't tell people yet because people have the wrong idea about the Christ. First, they need to see what the Christ came to do, and then they can tell everyone that the Christ has come.
I know we haven't really got into this yet, Phil, but you see the Lord's amazing patience, don't you, with these disciples? And it's a reminder of just how gracious he is and patient with us too, isn't he? We're slow to grasp, but he persists and he leads us on step at a time until the whole truth dawns on us.
Yes, I hope as you preach through Mark's gospel that you don't think, well, this is just the same message as before, because it does need repeating again and again before eventually God opens our eyes.
Yes, and I've met quite a number of believers who, they often refer to this passage as a description of their conversion. It wasn't a sudden, dramatic, crystal clear thing like Paul on the road to Damascus, but over a period of time the Lord just dealt with them and they saw more and more until at last they knew who he was and had the assurance of his forgiveness.
That's right.
Well, what do you suggest we have as our heading?
Well, it's Peter's confession, isn't it? So our main point is Peter says that Jesus is the Christ.
So how do you suggest we divide the passage up by way of sermon headings and so on?
An important question and an important answer. An important question. In verse 23, Jesus asks the man who was blind, "Do you see anything?" In verse 27, Jesus asks, "Who do people say I am?" And again in verse 29, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Well, we all like to see with our eyes, don't we? How do you feel if you can't see something? Perhaps there's something over your eyes or it's very dark. Imagine what it must be like being blind. Think how much a blind person wants to see. Well, Jesus has done this miracle. The blind man starts to see. And then Jesus asks him an important question. "Do you see anything?" Why, he was so excited. He began to see people. Jesus asks the disciples an important question. So far, they've been blind too. Now, do they see? Are they like all the other blind people who don't see who Jesus is? In verse 27 and 28, they've got all sorts of ideas about Jesus. But are they different now? Do they at last see? 29, he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And what about you? You need to ask your people. It's the same question that Jesus asks us today. You could go and ask the people around who live near you what they think of Jesus. People have many ideas about Jesus, but Jesus asks you, What do you say? Has Jesus opened your eyes yet? Do you see things now that you didn't understand before? When someone asks you, what will you say? It's ever such an important question.
Well, that leads in, Phil, to your second point, from an important question to an important answer.
Verse 29, Peter answered, you are the Christ. I can see! Those are the best words a blind man ever said, aren't they? From now on, his whole life changes. You are the Christ! And those are the best words Peter said. Now he knew that it was true, and he knew that it was important. God had sent the Saviour, and Peter believed in him. Other people say all sorts of different things about Jesus, but Peter knows the truth, and he's not afraid to say it. Oh, this is such an important passage for our people. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Saviour? And is it important to you? Is it so important that it changes your life? Is it so important that you're happy to tell others? And because Jesus is the Saviour, you'll trust him and follow him, like Peter. Well, perhaps you are like Peter. I mean, you only half see. Oh, there are still many things that you don't really understand. Can I encourage you to start with the things that you do understand? Don't be afraid to tell others that you do believe in Jesus, the Saviour. And as you follow Jesus, he'll help you to see more and more.
As I mentioned at the start of today's programme, a most remarkable change has taken place in the disciples' understanding, and Peter expressed that so clearly. Peter's confession is something fundamental, and by that I mean that without it, no one can really be a genuine Christian believer. We must believe that he is the Saviour whom God has sent into the world, and our trust must be in him to save us from our sins. This is something we really do need to stress in our preaching again and again. So many people consider Jesus simply as a good man, or a great teacher, or a kind miracle worker. All of these things were true of him, of course, but they don't save anyone. It's only as someone comes to trust in Jesus as the Christ, the Saviour from sin, that they become a genuine Christian and a child of God. May the Lord help us to make this plain in all of our preaching. Well, our time has gone, and we must bring this edition of Serving Today to a close. We do trust you found today's programme helpful, and remember, if you've any questions about today's subject, then we'd be delighted to hear from you and to help you further. The Serving Today address follows in a few moments. Until next time, this is Derek French saying goodbye, and may God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Serving Today, a podcast produced by the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. If you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast on Podbean. You can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @servingtodaygbm. And you can also search our back catalogue of programmes by going to our webpage. That's www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Goodbye.